Good morning. Hope you're glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to be back in Alberta. We were in BC for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at our MFI conference. So we bring greetings from lots of people, but especially from Herman Ulani, said to say hello to their friends back here. And we had a very good time, challenging, amazing speakers, great times of worship. By the end of Wednesday, you can only hold so much in this powerful brain of mine. And I just, on Wednesday night was the last service till about 9 o'clock and worshiping. And if you know anything about our MFI conferences and worship, it's quite enthusiastic. And by the end of Monday night, I'm sort of just like drunk. I don't know if that's in the spirit or just worn down or getting old. I said to Herman, man, you got to get fit for this stuff. And they were working hard, the church hosting us, and it was an amazing time. And I'm going to share a little bit about some of that when it, as it fits into our plans for the fall. But I reserve the right to review and go back and speak on some of those things again, as we, you know, as I said, from Frank's messages from camp and these messages from the conference. What's the use of going there if you don't steal some of it, right? And if it's not worth stealing, we shouldn't preach it. But I always, one thing that stuck out of my head from Frank from camp, and if you were there, you'll probably remember it as well, but God, Jesus always turns water into wine. I love that picture. He's got something good for us, and an abundance and a blessing. And so to hear Pete and Mel's testimony, and we have testimony this week of God's provided just amazing ways. And I just want to encourage you this morning that we are serving a God who's alive and well and blessing His church around the world. And one of the ladies, I don't want to repeat all her message, one of the ladies she works for, Alpha Canada, she's the puts together the youth Alpha courses and the videos. And but she was the most positive preacher of the whole weekend, I think. They all were. But her whole point was our young people and going for the young people, and that's where her heart is. And she just shared statistics and just numbers of what God is doing in Canada, and what a blessing it was to hear, and then what He's doing around the world. And so we need that big picture sometimes to just remember what God is doing everywhere. Yeah. Brian and Val just texted. They're back in Ethiopia. It's good to have Jeanette back from Mozambique. The world is our oyster. We have people all over the world. My dad always used to say, the sun never sets on all his kids at once. And I can say that too, because it's shining in Australia or it's shining here, but the sun is always shining on my family. But God's family is amazing around the world. And the more you get to meet it and hear about it and see what God's doing, the more it stirs our hearts. So I come back, Lori and I come back full of encouragement and blessing and prophetic words that were spoken and just what God wants to do for His church. So I'm hoping some of that I can transfer to you and not bring the whole hay load just all in one service, but I'll try my best. But we've also started a bit of a series this fall talking about practicing the way radical rhythm change, you know, renewing our rhythms of our life, resetting rhythms of the church. We're trying to hear God as best we can, and I'm going to try to bring all of that into one sermon, but I don't have to share it all in one day. We have time over the next 40 years to unfold all these things. So be faithful and be patient. So this morning, I'm just going to ask you to put up that slide of the scriptures. I don't know exactly a text that kind of puts it all together for me, but I like these two texts. And if you read it with me, Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And I like the King James translation, redeeming the time. The ESV, which is this translation, many of the more modern English ones would say, making the most of every opportunity. That's what it literally means. See, half of our job as preachers used to be in the olden days when I was young was helping people understand the King James English to modern day English. And now all the new translations have taken half our job. And so we don't really know what to do when we read these scriptures. But making the most of every opportunity is very important. And then again in Colossians, he says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity, redeem the time, and let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So it kind of sums up what's in my heart, thinking about these conferences and what God's been doing and where we've been at the last few weeks, is making the most of every opportunity. Redeeming the time literally means to buy back the time, to take it back, take back the time, make the most of it, buy it back, take possession of it. Time is a gift from God, amen? And you only get one chance. You can live your life however you want. That's the beautiful thing about serving God. And we got to keep each other free, and you are free. But the biggest point is you only get to do it once. So make it count. We only get this one life, and we need to make it count. And I think that's what Paul's saying is be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. And the second time he quotes that or says that in Colossians is he's saying it around people, being careful that we have an answer for people, the way we act toward outsiders. He's talking about, making the most of our opportunities with those who are around us, outsiders, those who are not part of the church. Of course, we should not live foolishly. We should live wisely. We should walk in a way that's respectful to God and to the house of God, but also outsiders. And so I'm going to emphasize a little bit about the outsiders this morning, those who are not part of us, why we exist for our non-members. It's important to have balance between here and our family, and encouraging and strengthening, but also to have a vision for the outsiders, whoever that may be, our family, our co-workers, people that we meet on the street, our neighbors. And the challenge is over and over and over to be careful and to be wise and to live in a way that's not offensive, not to be hidden and foolish and, afraid, but to walk circumspectly. I like that word. We don't use that word very much. Be very careful. That's where I like the King James, because those are all the scriptures I memorized in Bible school is all King James. So that English sticks. But you walk circumspectly. Now, it means to have your eyes open. It means to be careful. It means, I preached in Africa for 400 years, so the example I always liked was a Grant's gazelle, a little gazelle in the middle of the Serengeti, those little ones that a springbok in South Africa, they use that more, different type of little gazelles that are just, their tails are just, and they're just, to me, they walk circumspectly because they know there's lions, they know there's stuff in the bush, and they are like circumspect. However that English, delicious English fits in there. But they walk carefully. And I would ask you this morning, are you walking carefully? Are you being wise? Are you making the most of every opportunity? Are you taking back your time? Are you using your time well? And I think that this couple or three days in BC was a refreshing, but it was also very encouraging and challenging to look at our time. We've been saying we want to look at radical reset of rhythms. We want to look at our lives. We want to look at the church and encourage one another and strengthen one another, not just to get busy, not just hacking with the old dull axe, but taking time to sharpen that axe so that when we strike, it actually does something. And that's speaking of our lives, and that's speaking of the church. So if you've been around for a while, could I just give you a little recap of where we've been? You can put up the next slide. I think I got them in the right. Yeah, see? Man, I'm organized. We talked about why we put leaders in place when we are ordaining some beautiful families into deacons to just set them apart. We're all deacons. We're all servants. But there is that office, there is that place where the church just lays hands on and says, these are people that are recognized, and they are holding up the arms of the elders and the leaders and the, you know, as someone said it, whoever said it, but when deacons do their job and elders do their job, the church grows. There's life and there's fruit in it, and we serve one another, encourage one another. And this morning, the word in the prayer was totally, everybody has their gift, the symphony. You know, Jesus is the conductor. I'm the conductor. No, Jesus is the conductor. And we're marching to his drumbeat. We're marching to what he's asking us to be part of. And we're better together. So anyhow, we had our celebrating of kids, the kickoff. Everybody is, you know, eating hot dogs like... If you don't know what a boerewors is, you know, that vors that was out there, I hope you got a good taste of one when we had it. We were caught off guard a little bit. We were trying to understand, you know, how many we should buy of the hot dogs and how many vors there is. And so we cut down on hot dogs and Johan cooked vors until he looks like a vors. And then... and then everybody that came to the barbecue, they wanted a hot dog. I'm like, okay, you know, you want that, you know, they take every part of a cow and just make it into a hot dog, or you can have this beautiful vors, which is, you know, delicious. No, we'll have the hot dog. Okay, go for it. But anyhow, we survived. I just kept running to the no frills and buying more hot dogs, and Johan just kept cooking and cooking. It was very good. But what a celebration, amen? Yeah. And I hope we can have one every week. That's what I would like, but... And then last week, PJ was talking about the importance of knowing and following Jesus as he builds his church. We value the word, the church, and the transformation of community here and around the world. So it's kind of where we've been. And then this week, we're at the conference. And so I want to reference a few of those things, if that's okay as well. I don't think I have a slide. Back up. Save that secret. Thank you. Good job. I appreciate you, Sherry, very much. We don't often look at our sound men or our AV people, except for when they mess up, but thank you. You guys do amazing. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yeah. And if anyone complains, you get the job. That's the truth. Anybody who's doing anything hasn't got time to complain. It's those visitors in the basement. You remember that analogy, right? Who've been in the basement a little too long as visitors. They need to come up and start to serve. Anyhow, that's another sermon for another day. But let me just quickly talk about this last 3 days, because it relates to what I want to speak on. The conference was called Reach. So the whole emphasis was we as a church have got to reach out. We've got to touch people who we may not like. We need to talk to people outside of us. We must reach the world. And so you can imagine this, you know, it's a very broad subject, a very open-ended discussion of reaching, of what that means. And so, you know, there was a number of speakers, and as I said, we may refer to some of them over the next while, but just challenging us as churches to not just get so ingrown and so centered on ourselves and our needs and who we are, but to touch the world in every way. So it was challenging. I liked a couple of lines, and I'll just give you a couple of quotes. We're not saved just not to go to hell and then live like we always wanted to. We didn't just get saved to not go to hell. Come and receive Jesus, say the prayer, you don't want to go to hell, give your life to Jesus, and that's it. Then live however you want, but you have that assurance that you're not going to hell. And I think it was Matt Tapley who was talking around this area, and he's like, yeah, come and see us, we're nice people, come to our buildings, come, we're a nice group of people, and we have lasers. He says, and nobody cares. Because you got to get saved. You got to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen? It doesn't matter. You know, it matters, but it's like you have all styles and ways of doing church. But what matters is to be saved, to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. not crowds but converts, disciples of Christ, new creatures. We can't disciple unsaved people. I mean, each of these is a sermon, and I'm not going to preach it, but just hear and let the Spirit of God sink something into your heart. We cannot disciple unsaved people. They need to be saved, and we can't expect, I don't want to preach, but we can't expect unsaved to value what we value. They need to be born again, and we need to be born again. And we need salvation. We need to be saved, is the next line. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need everyone equipped to evangelize, everyone to be a follower and an apprentice of Jesus. Hallelujah. Everyone. And it's not just while we're in church. It's our whole entire life. I think it was Dave McTaggart. He's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And as it comes to mind, I'll just give it to you for free. But he was saying, you know, the gifts of the Spirit in the Bible were not used in the church. They were not practiced in the temple. They could have, but that's not where we see them. The gifts of the Holy Spirit were used outside, amongst the outsiders. Paul talks about an orderly service where you have a tongue and a, you know, an interpretation and so on. So don't hear what I'm not saying. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the working of miracles, the signs and the wonders, was used by God, like someone has said, much more famous than me. It's like the bells, the church bells that are ringing out there, calling people to Christ. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that, what I took away from this week in a minute. But that has to be part of our life. So number one, I got five slides, and I can make them really long or I can make them really short. If you say amen and hallelujah and say preach it, Leonard, and don't walk away when I'm talking, I'll preach really long then. Number one, what do we need to radically reset in our lives and as a church? And so this has come out of what we feel the Spirit of God's been saying, but it also comes out of this 3 days. I said it's dangerous to send your leaders to a conference for 3 days, and he's just getting hit. But it's something we value, something we talk about a lot, is prayer. And all I wrote up there is the one line: we need to up our game when it comes to prayer. Whatever we build without prayer, we will rebuild. Just go downtown and look. And if you don't like Edmonton downtown, go to New York downtown. You'll see what men can build without God. It's not going to last, but it's amazing what we can build without God. We need to pray. We need to up our game. If you want to know Jesus and become like him and do what he did, because that's the basic theme of this fall, is knowing Jesus, becoming like him, and doing what he did is what we're going to get to over these next weeks. And it's challenging me, it's challenging my life, and it keeps coming back and through all these different ways. The only way we're going to be able to do that is to spend time in prayer. Spend time with him, talking to him, hearing him, listening to Jesus himself. What does he want? Number two, redefine evangelism. Here's a quote from this weekend, and I like it because, let's read it first. Evangelism is joining the conversation that the Holy Spirit is already having with another person. Hallelujah. I love that. That was the young lady who was from Alpha, and they come at evangelism, as you know, very often different than a crusade type evangelist. And I loved what she shared because it takes the scary out of evangelism. When we talk about evangelism, many times people are afraid of it. They don't understand it. They think I can't do it. They're held back. They think that's the work of a pastor or an evangelist or somebody out there. Someone else should do it. But if you think of evangelism as this, as a definition, joining the conversation that the Holy Spirit is already having with someone, it takes the fear out of it. The Holy Spirit, here's a good text. The Holy Spirit is the greatest evangelism, John 15, 26 and 27. I don't have that verse up on a screen, but if you're following, John 15, verse 26 to 27. When the advocate comes, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Amen? Take that scripture in line with that. Everybody you meet, in a sense, the Holy Spirit is having a conversation with them. Sometimes it's more obvious, sometimes it's not. I've had people run up to me and say, what do I need to do to get saved? And that's the kind of evangelism I feel quite confident in. It's those who don't like what you say that's a little tougher to understand. You've all heard the symphony stories. And you've heard the one of the famous pianist whose son snuck up onto the stage and started to play the piano in front of a crowd. You know that example, so I don't have to repeat it totally. You don't know it. Come on, Pat. Where have you been all your life over there? Anyhow, the kid sneaks up on the piano while the crowd is waiting for the amazing pianist and starts to plink and plonk. And the story goes, I don't know if it's urban legend or if it's a real story, but it works good for preachers, so we use whatever works. Sorry. But as he's sitting there plinking, one of the stories I heard was Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, but I don't care, whatever. Plink, plonk, plink, plonk, plink, plonk. And the father comes, who's the pianist, and he puts his arms around his son, and he starts to fill it in. I love that. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So here's the point. Use your plink plonk. Talk to people. Sometimes we feel so foolish when we walk away. Why didn't I say something better? What, like, did that make any sense? Is that neighbor ever going to talk to me again? It's like, just plink and plonk. And the Holy Spirit is the great evangelist, and I've seen it in my whole life, and he comes around and he puts his arms around us, and what he takes what we're saying and it just does stuff for people. Yeah. I'm getting emotional because I could tell you so many stories. And when we were back in Tanzania and when we were traveling, and I could tell you this week, people say, you know, when you said that, and I'm like, I hope I said that. That was quite good. When you prophesied, I'm like, did we prophesy that? That's good. It changed my life. And it's like the Holy Spirit takes what we say, and we just have to give him something and hear him and walk with him and obey him. We've used the example so many times, and I love that our neighbors, we can talk to them, and they were here for the kickoff Sunday, and I was chatting with them yesterday. God's given us such an amazing change in neighbors. But back in Dodoma, back in the day, and I hate telling long ago stories, but I am anyhow, so who cares? I have the mic. But Lori led our neighbor, Daniela, who is an Italian family, lived right beside us, to the Lord. And I've shared that story many times. And what she said, as Lori got to disciple her and walk with her and led her to Jesus, is she would stand by the fence and watch our family. And that was very scary, because their fence and ours was closer than Lori is to me, and our bedroom was here and there. And, you know, she would stand and look through the fence, and we're like, oh, Jesus. But whatever she saw, that the Holy Spirit just filled in, it changed her life. But, you know, you compare our family to her family, then you understand we were like St. Paul the Apostle compared to our neighbor. But God wants to use our lives. Is that okay? But if we can somehow get a better picture of what evangelism is, it helps us to be bolder, to just use a conversation, invite someone to church. That's an evangelistic outreach. Just invite your friends, talk to your neighbors, talk to your family. Invite them to come to a hot dog and eat 10 of them. And somehow God begins to speak to people. And it's not about, you know, the four spiritual laws and get this thing done and finished. It's like we're living this thing out. Every song we sang this morning, because I was listening, was talking about our confidence in His faithfulness, our confidence. We just kept singing about our confidences in Him. I have to have confidence in what Jesus has done in me. And then the question is, why should it only be for us? Why should we not expect whoever, whatever background, whatever ideology they have, or wokeness, or why should we not expect this gospel then to touch and change and help them, anybody? Because that's the only thing that saved us, was coming to Jesus and being touched by Him and His Holy Spirit coming into us and being born again by the Spirit and crying out to Jesus. That's the only thing that helped us. And so why should it just be us? Why shouldn't we be able to share that with everyone and believe that our plinking and playing of piano, I took piano lessons for 4 years, or 6 years, I think, something like that. And when she blotted out the finger numbers, I was done. Like, I never learned to read one note. I know you're surprised by that, but whatever we can do, we should be doing it and allowing Jesus. Okay, I spent too much time on that one. Number three. This was one that came very clearly this week, and I've already talked about it a little bit, but prepare the next generation. I love this verse. Since my youth, God, You have taught me. That's my testimony. That's Lori's testimony. That's many of our testimonies. 4 years old, 15 years old, 3 years old, I don't know what age. Since my youth, God, You have taught me. God teaches us. And to this day, I declare Your marvelous deeds. God, help us. May we never stop declaring His marvelous deeds. Even when I'm old and gray. Woo! Do not forsake me, my God, till I declare Your power to the next generation, Your mighty acts to all who are to come. Hallelujah. May all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. I'm writing a song. You hear it? That is a song. God help us. I don't want to be that one that the millstone should be put around my neck, because I offended one of these, the least of the kingdom, the littlest one. God, may He help us as a church. And it comes back to, you know, we were talking about our kickoff and our celebrating the kids and trying to adjust and make room. And if it's for nothing else, but for that generation back there, for Julia, for Michael, my other newest grandson in Australia, if it's just for them, it's worth it to serve the Lord. It's worth it to keep this old flesh. Say, you wicked heart, you know, I'm going to put that heart on the altar and just beat that thing again and again and again. That I could be faithful to declare Your power to the next generation, to the third and fourth generation. And I've talked about that too much in the last few weeks. And that's what we value. Amen. Looks good on you, by the way. Young people are so eager, but maybe not equipped yet. But we need to help them. I love what's going on back here. And if you haven't volunteered, sign up. Go and share your faith. Encourage someone, little. Bless them. I talked about it many times, driving in the car lately. The Bible quiz. All my grandkids ever want to do in the car Well, now we got a video in the car, so that's changed slightly, a little less spiritual the last while. Is Bible quiz. And they're getting tougher. And we're running out of questions. So we're starting to dig deep, trying to come up with something that they haven't heard or know about. Just maybe it's just me, wee noofy heart. I don't know. Maybe it's my age. Maybe it's just the Spirit. But I believe it's the Spirit of God. But to see the next generation with a passion for Jesus. If you have to, see, we're talking about resetting rhythms, and we're going to talk about it, and Sabbath, and, you know, getting away and having time with Jesus and getting to know him and be like him and then doing what he's doing. But if whatever rhythm, whatever is going on in your life right now that you have to submit to Jesus and change so that you don't miss this generation coming behind you, do it. And I could start preaching wildly because I did it for a long time. You know, what's the point of gaining the whole world, but you lose your own soul? And not only your soul, but the souls of those in your household. You know, and I've challenged business people, and I've challenged anybody. You're so busy getting set up, building a business or whatever it is you're doing. Keep doing that. I'm not against that. God's blessing you, and he's called you to be who you are. That's your ministry. That's your kingdom, the place where you work. So I'm not against it. God bless the businessmen and the teachers and the people in this house, but nothing is more important than the souls of a next generation, of your own soul and those around you. And so whatever rhythm, whatever change, whatever you need to ask God for help in, do it. Because God has a way of changing our lives around if we don't. Because he cares more for us, and he cares more for their kids, and he cares more for the kingdom of God than anything else. And that's not a threat, but I have seen God put people on their backs. You know my brother Brian, he's not here, so I can really wax eloquently about him, but I remember some years ago, this is like 30 years ago, they were in Zambia. God put him in the hospital with hepatitis and in his home for weeks. And he had to lay in bed, and all he could do is read scripture and pray and talk to God. God has a way of getting our attention sometimes. And I'm saying to you, I feel like the Spirit is on this one. Whatever you got to do to not neglect the next generation, pray for them, talk to them, love them, buy them candies. Amen. They will love you. They're easily bought. That's one thing I've learned about grandkids. Number four, I got to end this. Signs and wonders. I like that comment. Where's the weird stuff? Every group in the city can feed poor and give clothing and do stuff. Where's the weird stuff? R.T. Kendall used to call it the yuck factory. Where's the yuck factor? Where's the miracles? Where's God breaking into a service and messing up our plans and changing, you know, making you like a babbling fool? Ha! And that it's not, the point is not to become foolish. The point is, what does the Holy Spirit want to do in our lives? Because it's only by the power of the Spirit that anybody changes, that anybody's saved, that anybody's moved to action. It's by the Spirit of God, and it's by his power. And that line came from the young lady again from Alpha. She was quoting Nikki Gumbel, who set up Alpha, and he's interviewing somebody who's one of the biggest bloggers in the world, but I've never heard of him, so it doesn't matter. But he's an atheist, and he's Nikki Gumbel and him are having this podcast. And that guy, this atheist, that's his That's his exact question to Nikki Gumbel. Where's the weird stuff? R.T. Kendall used to say it, you know, the Pentecostals, which we come out of, which we are, Pentecostal in spirit, evangelical, whatever term you want to use, his challenge was they used to be, the distinctive used to be the signs and wonders. It used to be the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Set apart a whole movement that changed the world. 100 million believers around the world. We're part of it. We experienced it in Africa. But R.T. Kendall's challenge was that has changed. He's talking about North America. But he's saying our distinctives have become prosperity gospel. We're prosperous. We preach it. We have big facilities. We believe God wants to bless us. And none of it's wrong. It's just that cannot be our distinctives. Our distinctives is the Spirit of God moves and we go to that ugly cry. And when you see someone repenting genuinely, and when you see it, it is a brokenness, it's a cry from the Spirit inside. God, help me. I need you. I've been in evangelism way too long in Africa for 29 years. You all know my story. I'll say it this way. We were born in the fire, and we're not going to live in the smoke. Is that okay? We're born by the Spirit with a passion for God and the things of God and waiting on God and the moving of His Spirit and signs and praying for sick and just seeing God. And we're not going to settle to just have a nice Sunday. Is that okay? And there's nothing wrong with a nice Sunday. But it's got to be God. Where is the weird stuff? Where is the Holy Ghost? What's He saying? What's He doing? And it can be as simple as Brad in the prayer meeting using the example of showing up at a symphony and speaking about what it means to use your gift, your talent, my talent. It can be that simple, and it can be God just pouring out His Spirit and healing bodies and saving souls. But that's what we got to believe for. Yeah. For all that the Spirit of God wants. When I was away for 3 days, and I don't say we have to do it, but you know, when we have a prayer time, we've used the scripture or the slide. If you have a word of knowledge for healing, text it, and it's very good because it's opened up people's hearts. People are praying. People come forward. We've had great altar times and beautiful times. So don't hear what I'm not saying. But what I'm saying is I would like to call that prayer time, any prayer time, miracle time. There's a few Brazilians in here. I don't know what we can do to up our game to expect God and wait on God and see God move. And this is not putting something on you. I'm talking to us. It's like, God, we want to see you. Yeah. We want to experience you. Taste and see that God is good. Yeah. Here and in our lives and everywhere. Amen. And so I want to encourage you, don't be afraid of the weird stuff. God puts it on your heart to talk to your neighbor, invite them, speak to them. You don't know, they're watching your life right now. They're looking at you. They're, you know, if I'd go back to the scripture I started with, you live in such a way that you have an answer for every person. You don't offend. You don't drive them away because you are walking carefully, making the most of every moment. I want to come back to that. And then the last, I think, no, there's two more. Number 5, we got to surrender to the Holy Spirit. It is the last one, sorry. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. Isaiah, good, it's up there. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? How is it written in that translation? Yeah, see? Perfect. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. My point is, do you not perceive it? It doesn't matter what God wants to do or God is doing if you don't perceive it. I'm going to end with this. This is where Matt Tapley started our week, and I'm going to end this morning with it. If you go to Acts chapter 11, is that verse on there? No, no more slide. Acts chapter 11, verse 22 and 23, it says this. Well, actually, Acts 11, verse 9, if you start there first, just let me read it, and I hope it'll hit something in your heart. I'm in the wrong chapter now. He did this last time because he had no glasses. I have glasses, and I'm still blind. Verse 19, that's the reason. Acts 11, verse 19. Now those who were scattered, remember, huge persecution. The church was always in Jerusalem. Nobody was going anywhere. They were loving Jesus. Amen? Thousands were added. Peter on the day of Pentecost. Nothing wrong. It's an amazing thing that God is doing in Jerusalem. But God said they forgot that Jesus, when he left them, he said, to the uttermost parts of the world. Remember that? That was Jesus' great commission, and Pete talked about it last week, and that kind of flavors has to be the base for everything we do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, amen? Beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And they forgot, or they were slack or something, because by this chapter, they had to be scattered by persecution, and they were gone, chased out on severe persecution. And make a long story short, by the time we get here, now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews. So they still didn't get it. Persecution hit, the church is scattered, they go all over. But they're still only preaching to the Jews. And the point is, in this chapter, you go to verse, it's not on there, sorry, to verse 22 and 23, it says this. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. They started to preach. Some Greek guys started to preach outside the Jewish people, and they started to get saved. They started to listen. And the news of this got to back to Jerusalem. And they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he came and saw the grace of God, literally means when they came and he perceived that it was God. He finally, one of these Jewish guys, perceived that what was going on in Antioch was God. And they, and when he came there, he saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. And I could keep reading. What did he do? He went and found Saul. And you can read the rest of the history. So what's my point? What is the Spirit of God doing that we need to perceive for right now? For our generation, for our world. Because if we come back to resetting rhythms, rethinking our lives, rethinking our Christian walk, and it's not like, oh, we were terrible and now it's going to totally change. What I'm saying is we need to know Jesus. We need to become more like him. And then we must do what he did. What is that? What's that going to look like? And that's a broad statement to say that, and that's why we're going to take some time to talk about it. But when people saw Jesus, understood him, they started to perceive what he was doing, they followed him, they changed, they lived out their lives. And when they didn't get it, when they didn't see this is God doing this, this is what God is involved in, then they backed off. And we're talking about years going on here in this book where they didn't get it. And I'm saying to you and me this morning, what is it that God's asking us by the Spirit as we surrender to Him? Nothing we do on our own is going to have a lot of effect. We can plink and plonk. Yes, we got to do that. And the Spirit of God wants to come and bless it and work with us and build the church of Jesus. He's building His church. And I'm asking you, if I take nothing away from this whole week that we were in BC, is what are we doing to reach others? What are we doing, like these Jewish guys who are stuck in their Jewish world, stuck in their little understanding? What has the Spirit of God got to do to shake us to reach out? Shake us to care for the next generation. Shake us to care for the lost. Care for the needy. Care for whatever area you're going to look at today. What has the Spirit of God got to do to shake you? Shake your life. And I pray this morning that as we close, as we pray, that somehow we could pray into, open my eyes, help me to see. Forget about the past. Forget about what was great or bad. What is it that God wants to do in my life? As far as sharing my faith with people. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And is it okay? Lori says it's okay, but some of you are just still wondering. No. And it's going to look different for everybody. Again, that's what we heard in the prayer meeting this morning. We all have different gifts. We all come to this table. But when we all bring our stuff, we are better off.
Yeah.
The kingdom advances.
Yeah.
When I see this whole row of life groups, can I just put a plug in? Maybe this is where I'll end. I would like to go to all these life groups. Pick one. Get involved in one. Commit your life to one. It's not a lifetime, you know, you can never leave again in your life. Find one that's got life for you. As Brad said, people open up their homes, they prepare, they make coffee, they welcome you. It's your greatest opportunity. Get to know somebody. Get committed. Get involved. We only have Sundays and Thursdays as actual meetings. Start there. See what God will do. Invite people. You don't want to invite them here, invite them to a home. Have a meal together. Talk around spiritual things. Talk about the Bible. Talk about apologetics. Poor old Dave's going to be apologizing for the rest of his life. Just do something. Amen? And then, last plug, sorry. Maybe not, but I think so. You know, when you have this Family Impact Weekend, it's for everybody. We met with Valjeer, as they say in... It was spelled with a D, but he says it like a G. And his wife, they're coming here, sent by Viva Church. They're excited, so we were chatting with them, and we were trying to kind of explain the demographics, you know, because they, you know, if they talk just about parenting or sex or marriage, but it's like everybody's involved and everybody's invited. We'll have singles, we'll have married, but it's family impact, and so they're preparing for that, and I'm looking forward to it. If you know Brazilians, you better get ready. But I'm just saying, come, put yourself there. We just spent 3 days in BC. If we stayed with Herman Yulani, we never saw them. We're living in their house, we never saw them. We never saw much outside of a church for 3 days. But it was challenging, and there's just something, like you said earlier, when you make yourself available, God comes through. And God is faithful, and He speaks to you. I'll preach 10 sermons about this week. But what we want to see is everyone in this church, just come. Come Friday, come Saturday morning. We'll have some brunch here, some snacks in the middle, maybe a dried out old donut or something. No, I don't. No. Why did I say that? We'll have delicious time. If everyone comes, we've already succeeded. Amen? So I just want to encourage you, what is a rhythm that needs to change, that you would speak to your neighbor, that you would pray for someone, that you would share Christ, that you would commit, that you would be involved, that you would bless this next generation. Whatever you take away from this sermon this morning, I'm just saying, God, may we join you in any conversation that you are having, Holy Spirit, with people and in our lives. May we have ears to hear. May we make the most. May we buy back, redeem the time. And maybe it's because I'm getting older, the time is going. And I'm like, God, I'm going to redeem the time. I'm going to make the most of it. God, help us. So let's pray. Father, I pray this morning for your Holy Spirit to have his way in our lives. Make us a witness to the ends of the earth, here at home and wherever you send us. And I pray this morning, if there's one in this building who has not given their life to Jesus, I pray this morning that they would bow their heart. They would hear you speak to them, Holy Spirit. Jesus, you would share your goodness to them. You would take the plink plonk of a sermon and you would just somehow put your arms around people today. I thank you for that. And I pray that you would save in Jesus' name. And just as your heads are bowed, just for a moment, I want to ask you this morning, if you're here and you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, and he's speaking to you, and you say, I don't even really know what that means, but you say, pray for me. I would like to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And if that's you this morning, would you just put up your hand, let me see it, just hold it up and let me pray for you and say, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to make him Lord of my life. Just hold it up. Don't be shy. Say, pray for me. Pray for me. I want to follow Christ. I want to know him. Just hold up your hand. He'll pray for you today. Holy Spirit, have your way. Thank you. Thank you, young man. Thank you. You can put your hand down, sir. Thank you. I believe God sees you and sees your hand. And I'd like to pray with you, if that's okay. But I want to ask also, if you're here this morning and you know Jesus, but you know that he's speaking to you about rhythms of your life and what that means to you, what it means to me. And you say, pray for me. Pray that I would have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, what conversations are going on around me with people, whatever. And you say, pray for me that I could be that evangelist that you've called us to be. And if that's you, would you just put up your hand and say, let's pray. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Many, 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 many. And if you didn't lift your hand, I pray the Spirit of God will just speak to you more and more and more in everyday life, in every opportunity. I'm praying that angels would show up. I pray the Holy Spirit would show up. I pray weird stuff would happen around us and in us and through us. In Jesus' name, I'd like to pray.